Oh, good morning, church. If you didn't know, my wife Amber and I, I'm Pastor Dan from here at Kingsfire Church. My wife and I have seven kids, so I just wanted to qualify that even all of our seven kids could be on that tab. Amen. Well, good morning. It is Father's Day, and as I smell the new carpet smell in this room, I'm reminded of my own father, who was in the Carpenters Union down in Manhattan. And as I was getting towards the end of high school there, I know he said, why don't you just... There was an offer there to become, go down into Manhattan and be part of the union. I said, no, I don't want to commute. And then sure enough, I'm involved in the utility industry. And I end up in Manhattan now and again. Amen. You know, in light of Father's Day, I have a dad joke this morning. God bless you guys. How many tickles does it take to make an octopus laugh? 10 tickles. Thank you, thank you. Come on, Tony. Help me out here. Tony's in the room. Come on, come on. Did you get it? All right. Amen. So listen. All right. They're getting it a little later. Thank you. Thank you, Tony. So listen, I wrote here to remind myself because, you know, it's something when you're involved in the kind of worship we have when the Holy Spirit's presence, it's very volatile to come up here and then share a word. I'm not amazed at times what happens to many speakers when they come up to share here, how rocked they are by the word and worship time, because we are living in uncertain times right now. And before I go on, we're having a prayer service tonight again. My wife and I have been having us meet. We meet in the church parking lot here at 7 p.m., as long as there's no crazy thunderstorm happening, we're good. I didn't check the weather, but we should be good at 7. Bring your own chair. I guess that's the only thing. BYOC. All right. Bring your own folding chair. And we'll just have a time of prayer. The other thing is I just wanted to announce or mention is please download the app, or you could catch us on Facebook. Downloading the app helps because you'll get a pop-up notification when new things are happening. And the other important thing is give the church your email address. It's a good way of staying in touch with everything. I want to thank X, who's been the man behind the scenes. I mean, I got choked up that first Sunday where we couldn't be here, and X was able to put those, like, questions, right? X is our resource for a lot of that stuff, and during our countdown, we had all these questions you had to answer, and I'm there with family, and we're trying to, it was a little quiz, if you recall, and X is the man behind the scenes trying to make a lot of that happen, collaborating with church leadership, and I just want to thank Xavier for making this happen throughout it all, amen? There's a song in the Ray household that's on repeat, and God bless Bethel Church actually just recorded a softer version with violin. My wife plays violin here at the church, and there's a big violin quartet, in a sense, in the song. It's called Dancing on the Waves by We the Kingdom, and I want to read it to you because sometimes, even in worship, there's a blessedness in what we're confessing, and sometimes you may miss it in just concentrating on what you're singing and understanding where we're at in melody. You may get distracted, for lack of a better term, from what is leaving your mouth. And I just think this is a beautiful song, and I want to read it to you in the form of poetry. This is Dancing on the Waves by We the Kingdom, and it's written from God's perspective, singing back to us, okay? Look up and lift your eyes. The future's open wide. I have great plans for you. Oh, yes, I do. Your past is dead and gone. Your healing has begun. I'm making all things new. I'm reaching out. I will chase you down. I dare you to believe how much I love you now. Don't be afraid. I am your strength. We'll be walking on the water, dancing on the waves. And then if you know this song, it's hard for me not to sing it right now. I set every star into place so that you would remember my name. Yes, I made it all for you. You are my masterpiece. And this is a verse in Zephaniah, if you don't believe this is true. You are the reason I sing. Zephaniah, I forget the exact verse, says he rejoices over us with singing. So it's okay for the Lord to say in the song, the way this artist has done it, you are the reason I sing. This is my song for you. And this is a psalm that I posted on Facebook, Psalm 63, verse 1 through 4. Oh God, you are my God. So now this is my response to that song. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul, you see, my soul thirsts for you. And think about what Josh shared last week in context of the next verse. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. I posted this verse, God bless Facebook, it showed me a year ago today. And a year ago today during this week, I posted this psalm. And I thought of the context of what Josh shared last week. When the Israelites were 3 days without drinking water, and they said, what are we going to do? You can only go 3 days. It's due time. This psalm says, my flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. And I pray this next verse is not just lip service, because it can be. It's a very tough thing to say. And be true to your heart and be sincere. Because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live, and I will lift up my hands in your name. You see, the last few months when we haven't been able to gather, whether you believe it's truly the coronavirus or some evil person in charge, wherever your mind goes with that, these last few months have been the closest thing to the persecuted church in, when I think of Iran and China, that we've come to in America. We weren't persecuted to stay home. It was for the sake of safety. But we're all challenged in this confession because your loving kindness is better than life. It's not because Josh's joy is so much better in my life, because that worship team at King's Fire is so much better in my life. No, it's your loving kindness is better than life. And I hope if there's one conviction you're receiving in the last few months is, where was your faith in these 3 months without the church, without this? Because there's people in the world today. Isn't it amazing? I am so blessed by the geographic location where I was born. In America, the streets are paved with gold. And praise God for my grandpa a few generations ago that came, you know, I was talking to my parents about where we're from, our ethnicity, our background. On my mom's side, it's Palermo, Italy. On my dad's side, there's actually German, Jewish. My dad's watching, he'll probably correct me. Polish. There's a few things European, right? So I got some European, last name's Ray. And then on my mom's side, certainly Italian. But we're so blessed to be in this, to be where we are. And right now, if you happen to be born in such a different place in the world, you would probably never see this experience you just had this morning ever in your life, and you'd have to be okay with it. And I'm reminded of that thing. Some of you were here for it when I shared that documentary, Sheep Among Wolves, about the underground church in Iran. How this group wanted to declare to you that you may not see it in the news because they can't declare it, but the underground church is flourishing in Iran, and it's flourishing in China. And they may never know what it's like to gather just like we are this morning. We've only had a pause for 3 months. They're going to have a pause the rest of their life. And they're going to be okay, so I have to know that I could be okay. Am I making sense? I'm not trying to speak against maybe where you've been in the 3 months, but if you've felt a loss because you haven't been able to reap of the joy of corporate worship, of maybe Josh's joy, Josh's faith, or mine, or Elaine on the team, you need to sow into that yourself. And how? When his loving kindness is better than life. Because life is pretty uncertain right now. I don't know about you guys. I thank God that I know the truth. I can only imagine what's going through people's hearts and minds right now who don't know the truth. What is going on in this world when it comes to these riots and everything related to racism, and when it comes to our reaction to the coronavirus, and then you have these killer hornets coming out of the West, right? What is going on? It's like Revelations unfolding. And while those things are causing distress among the earth, it's like one of those things, right? Even on Father's Day, you appreciate your dad so much more when you have that scenario, right? As a teenager, you get in your first accident or something happens, you get pulled over, you rush, you call your father. And in that moment, you're so glad you have a dad to call. And in the same way, in likewise manner, that what this last 3 months have shown me is, oh God, thank you so much that I know your truth, because I don't know where my mind and my heart would be going if I didn't know the truth. So I can't but this morning share truth because I want that for every heart. I don't know that we can solve this racism thing until every heart is turned to the Lord, until every heart beats for all of mankind and understands that the conception of every person was in the heart and mind of God. We're debating and discussing when it comes to abortion, when life starts. Life started, I picture it, in the heart and mind of God. You see, he's prepared works for good works for me that I may walk in it before he founded this earth. That's a lot of pre-planning. And when I think about my seven children, the way I metaphorically see Jubilee, my first daughter, when she was born, God had this personality in mind. He had it like a jar on the shelf in heaven. And he said, whoop, Dan and Amber about to have their first. Let me give them this personality I call Jubilee. And that's the way I see it, to be honest. Jubilee didn't start with Amber and I. Jubilee started in heaven with God's heart and mind. Forget conception. Forget, oh, it's when the cells meet. Forget, oh, it's when a brain was formed. No. Back all that up. Conception starts in the heart and mind of God. And doesn't that change everything for Amber and I? Now we have seven vessels, seven humans that are made in the image of God, and he has bestowed unto us, like being given something very precious and valuable. He's given us seven little miracles that Amber and I are supposed to preciously, in awe of creation, marveling at the works of his hands, grow into the glory of God. Amen? 2 Corinthians 6:18 says, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for who you are, Almighty God, Father. I thank you, Lord, that we actually get to live in an age that the old men of the old covenant would be very jealous of. David is very jealous of us right now. He danced for joy when that tabernacle came to his home country, when he was able to receive the Spirit of God and the presence of God. He dared receive that in his hometown. And now you said, I'm going to build my temple in human hearts. And now what David was so joyful that came on an ark is now inside this heart. My goodness, Lord. Let us take that ever so seriously and understand that your loving kindness is better than life. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So in light of Father's Day, of course, I'm thinking of my favorite thing to talk about is the identity gospel. I don't know about you. There's a lot of people that say, you know, if my father is the model I have after God's love, then I don't know the father's love because I had a bad dad, right? That's a statement that many people say. In light of, I can't understand God's love because I had a bad father. I want to tell you apologetically, catch something in what you're saying. I want to encourage you in this. You're only able to assess that your dad wasn't a good father because you actually do know what a good father should be like. You're actually saying it in that sentence. You're coming to the church saying, I don't know what the love of a good father is like because I didn't have a good father growing up. You just said it. You already know what good is and your dad blew it. So you actually do know what the love of a good father is like because you assess that in your own earthly father. Amen? Just want to encourage you in that. But here's the bigger deal. We're all called to be refathered. So regardless if you've known your father, never even seen your father was great like my father, or your father's not even no longer alive, we're all called to be refathered. And Jesus came to show us the Father. Amen? Jesus is the Father revealed. And in John 14, this is a discussion between Jesus, right, and Philip. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. This is Jesus talking. If you're in your Bible, it's red letters, right? And from now on, you know him and have seen him. And here's Philip all excited. Ooh, Lord, show us the Father, right? And it is sufficient for us. So he's saying, Lord, you know, I don't know if he's expecting him to have a little hologram. I don't know what Philip is expecting. You know, help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only hope. I don't know what Philip thought Jesus was going to do. Like, let me show you the Father, the portal, right? I don't know what Philip was expecting. But what does Jesus say back to him? Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? I put it in bold in my notes if I were to show you it behind me. I am that slide guy usually. He who has seen me has seen the Father. When you've seen Christ, you've seen the Father. How can you say, this is Jesus responding to Philip, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe in me. Can you see the Italian in me? Believe in me. Believe me that I am the Father and the Father in me. Or else, believe in me for the sake of the work themselves. You have to understand. If you were to just, right, there's a concept. I believe Pastor Andy Elms, when he was here, talked about doing so. If you just read the red letters, you're going to see the Father. You're going to see the heart of God. You're going to see who your heavenly Father that you're supposed to be refathered to is like when you read only the red letters. Because he's done nothing but what he sees the Father doing. Amen? And there's very powerful declarations in 1 John and in John. 1 John 4:12 says, no one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us. And his love is brought to full expression in us. Catch that first phrase. No one has ever seen God. Well, I thought Moses, well, he only saw his backside, right? I thought we've seen God in the Old Testament. No, you haven't yet. No one, this is here in our new covenant reality, this is 1 John, no one has ever seen God. It's only revealed in this aspect, he's saying, by his love brought in full expression in us. Here's another one, same phrase in John 1:18. No one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, what? He has declared him. Hebrews 1:1-4 says, God, who at various times and various ways, here's my hands again, spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, right? God in times past, he did speak through the prophets, right? But, and this is what I put in bold, has in these last days spoken to us, how? By his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he made the worlds, who being then the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat at the hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So this is what's important. If your understanding of God is only the old covenant, you have not seen God yet. Why? Those two verses I just said to you, no one has ever seen God, and there's a but it's been revealed in the Son. If you want to understand the character of your God, you have to look at his Son. Jesus is the manifestation of what God wants to tell us, amen? How do I know this so well? I bring you to 2 Corinthians 3:14-18. But their minds were blinded, for until this day, all right, this is a new covenant scripture. This is 2 Corinthians. This is writing to Corinthians. But their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament. What am I saying? That even in reading the Old Testament, up until this new covenant reality, up until 30 AD, wherever that is, 30 to 300 AD, between everything that Jesus established in the new covenant, he is saying, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of what? The old covenant. Why? Because no one has ever seen God. You thought you did by reading the old covenant, but it's revealed in Christ. And it says it so emphatically here. But even to this day, when Moses is read, do you follow what he's saying here? A veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, here's how we get that veil lifted. When one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And here's that verse we love to, it's in music, it's in songs, it's on pillows, it's on walls. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Why? Because he reveals the Father to your heart. But we all, here it is, with unveiled face, beholding in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed to that same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. What's so important you need to understand is Jesus came to reunite us to our Father. We need to be refathered. You know, even the Old Testament ends about fatherhood, right? Malachi 4:6, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to their fathers. If you want to turn with me to John 17. I don't know how we got away with this, But in Scripture, we have a whole prayer that Jesus said alone to the Father, written, I think it's in all four Gospels. So here we have a window. If you look at John 17 in your Bible, if you have red lettering, it's all red. John 17 is a beautiful prayer. And it's a prayer we're allowed to see into somehow. And that somehow is the Spirit of God, right? Somehow, our blessed apostles were peeking on Jesus praying to the Father. And I want to know what he says. And this is where it's unveiled what Jesus' purpose is. I want to read right from the top. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, from whom you have sent. I have glorified you on this earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men you have given me to the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and they have surely known, right? Because I just told Philip this, that I came from you, and that they believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours mine, and I am glorified in them. For I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those you have given me, that, here it is, that they may become one just as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I kept, and none of them is lost, except Judas, the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they're not of this world, just as I'm not of this world. I don't pray, here it is, with everything going on in this world, I do not pray that you would take Pastor Dan and Kingsfire Church out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They're not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into this world, I take them and send them into the world. And for their sake, I sanctify myself, that they might also be sanctified by the truth. Amen. Are you capturing this here? Jesus is saying, just as much as I'm in you and you're in me, you have given me these precious people to be called, to be refathers as your son and daughters. And just as much as I'm with you, I'm bringing them in the fold so they would be one with me and therefore one with you. Amen. I don't pray for these alone, but also those who will believe me through their word, that they all become one as you, the Father, are in me and I in you. Do you see this in Jesus, what he's saying? That they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me and the glory which you gave me, this is precious, I have given them. We just prayed that in Psalms, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and you have loved me. Love them as you have loved me. I'll just end here. We just read through the whole 17. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Do you see that? Do you see how he's saying you have given them to me? I guess this is where I get the whole thing with Jubilee. The Father has given me Jubilee. Amber and I conceived, sure. But the Father, in his heart of hearts, and he just said it there, before the foundation of the world, you gave them to me. So you know what? Before earth was created, God gave Jubilee to me. We just found out on January 27, 2010. Okay? Can you see it that way? Thank you, Jesus. So this gets to the crux of the identity message of the gospel. Understanding your Father helps understand who you are, because seed determines the fruit. You can't escape the seed you're born of. Can't escape the seed you're born of, right? I think in this season, I know a couple of people here at church, they're starting gardens, right? It's nice to kind of grow your own food. And I don't know about you, but do you plant tomato seeds and expect apples out of those trees? Come on, right? The seed that which you plant, you expect that tree to be. And I've actually visited a few friends who have started gardens, and it's awesome. They have their tags on everything. And how do they know what's coming out of that ground? Because they know the seed at which they planted, and they could expect it to be that thing. And you have in Matthew 13, you will know a tree is known by its fruit. If that, if the fruit is bad, that means the tree is bad. But make a tree good, and its fruit will be also. And the encouragement there is what we should understand is the seed we were born of, which is Adam, unfortunately, has bared bad seed in your life. Bad fruit, I'm sorry, in your life. We're all born of a corruptible seed. Therefore, our fruit is pretty bad. I went to Hannaford the other day to get watermelon at 8 or 9 at night. And I guess probably whatever they put out all gets ravaged by 8 or 9 at night. So I went there and the last piece of, there was one watermelon left. I went to pick it up. Sure enough, the other side was all rotten and caving in and soft. People are going to pick the best fruits, aren't they? So sometimes when we assess ourselves, we find if that verse in Matthew is pretty challenging. You'll know a tree by its fruit. A good tree can't bear bad fruit. A bad tree can't bear good fruit. So we look at our fruit in our lives and say, oh, whatever you're struggling with, whether it's lust, something like porn, your anger, or maybe you're snapping and you're cursing. And here in your Christian walk, you're like, oh man, my fruit is not good. What's the resolution? Make a tree good, and its fruit will be also. Can you see how it doesn't make sense? If you have a tree in your garden, and it's bearing bad apples, can you hang good apples on that tree? Can you picture that? Maybe my daughters would do that, because my daughters are pretty creative. They'd probably take some good apples and put a piece of tape and try and hang it on that bad tree, right? But we can't do that. How do you make that bad apple tree good? Make the tree good, and its fruit will be also. It's a process. Maybe its roots aren't being well fed or well watered. Maybe it's not getting proper sunlight. And so many times in Scripture, we are likened to trees. Blessed is the man who, like a tree, has its roots down by the river. For even in times of dryness, even in times of drought, he will bear fruit. Why? Because his roots go deep and go towards the river, and he's always being fed. Amen. And it's the same way in these last 3 months. Okay, we haven't been able to be watered every Sunday morning for an hour and 15 minutes. You have to water yourself. You have to find those roots and grow deep. And that psalm says, you're blessed because your love is better than life, right? It's a very powerful statement. We have so many worship songs that say that. Think of an old Hillsong, I love you more than life. What a declaration. 1 Peter says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Galatians 3 says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. This is interesting. There is neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave nor free, nor male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Galatians 4, 6 through 7, a little later in that same book. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son in your hearts, crying out what? Abba, Father. Yes, thank you. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. When you hear Abba, Father, what do you think of? I think of that other verse, and I have it here, Romans 8, 15. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of what? Adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. You know, in this season of these riots and everything, my wife and I, and I encourage you to do the same, instead of posting things on Facebook that make declarations, we've invited a few friends of ours of color to really understand what they're going through and really understand their heart on the matter, to really understand what their belief is on racism, whether it's, is it systemic? What is your experience? And they've talked to us about some real fears they have. And the best thing I can give anyone is this verse right here. You weren't given a spirit of bondage again to fear, but of one we cry out, Abba, Father. I may not be able to handedly stop all racism on the earth. One thing I can give you, sister, brother, is of spirit of adoption, of which we cry out, Abba, Father, because perfect love casts out that fear. I may not be able to stop the heart of every cop and every person in this earth, in America, but I can give you something that removes that fear, that gives you a peace in light of that still existing on the earth today. To you with coronavirus, I may not be able to tell you, I wish I could say that I have faith upon faith. Lord, help me in my unbelief, right? Like the dad in Mark 9. I would love to tell you, just bring all your COVID-19s to me and I'll get rid of them. I can't battle the truth of that, but what I can give you is a peace in spite of that. It's my same message to those in fear of racism and those in fear of the coronavirus. The best thing, and it was the only thing I could provide anyone in this room and anyone listening, is a peace that goes beyond that fear, a peace in place of that fear. Because do you see the word again there in Romans 8? It says, you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Again implies you had it once, right? If you get something again, you had it. Is that basic enough? So guess what? You were all born, because you were born of that other seed, Adam's seed. We were all born with a seed of fear, of a bondage to fear. And that's what I'm saying. I thank God so much right now in all the uncertainty of where this nation is going. I praise God that I have not been given a spirit of bondage again to fear, but of one I cry out, Abba, Father, please help us. And that's my prayer for those worrying about their colored skin child, about when he gets pulled over by the police. I can't promise that they'll all be different, but I can give you a peace that surpasses that reality, right? What is it? It's the verse I wrote on my wall, Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things with prayer and supplications, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. That's a powerful statement. The peace of God transcends all understanding. Statistics show you, the video I just watched shows you that your logic, your understanding should be, you should fear as your child leaves your house tonight. But the peace of God will transcend that understanding. In spite of that truth that may be out there in the world, I'll give you a peace that transcends that. Ugh. Wife and I, this hits home in the sense of when shootings were happening more and more at malls and schools. This is what my wife and I had to say, hon. If it happens, it's not going to happen in New York. Okay, if it happens in New York, it's not going to happen in my town. Okay, if it happens in my town, it's not going to happen in the mall I'm in. Okay, if it happens in the mall I'm in, I'm not going to be in that store. Okay, if it happens in the store I'm in, I'm not getting shot. It's the only way I know how to live in faith relating to these things. I can't stop them all from happening, and I can't not go out because of it. Right? If you take the statistic of just how many people die from vehicle accidents, right? We kept that on the news, kept interviewing people that lost loved ones. We actually, through a friendship through Marco Polo app, God bless Jay Williams, I'm now friends with a minister down in Georgia who just lost his 16-year-old cousin in a car accident. And if we kept that going, how many of us would fear to get on the thruway every morning to go to work? There's a risk in stepping out that door. There's a coronavirus or not, there's a risk. Life is risky. And we are promised nothing about this life, but we are promised this, that God can give you a peace that surpasses even when those statistics exist, even when coronavirus is on the rise. No matter what we do know or don't know about racism or the heart of men, he can provide a peace in spite of that thing. And we just saw it in the prayer, right? John 17, I don't pray that you take them from the world. That would be nice. We're going to get there someday. It's called the next life. But for now, while we're here, I don't pray you take my saints from it. It's too precious for those of you in the room who are believers. It's actually more precious. You should see it this way. You need to stay alive. Why? Because you're not on this earth for yourself. You're for everyone else who doesn't have that peace, right? I pray for length of days. That's my first fear of flying was just like, and roller coasters was like, well, because I'm on this thing and I have a future in the Lord, it's not going down. Because I have a call of God in my life, so you all should thank me. And then this, and then this, and then this, right? I was a Catholic growing up. Not in a prideful way, but I was like, the Lord has a future on my life. So when I get on that roller coaster, some of them do fail, but not this one. Same with planes. I've been to India and Africa, and those are long rides in the sky, 20 hours. Hello. I hope there's enough fuel on the plane, right? But I had to know I had a future, and the Lord was going to keep me. Amen? Whew. It's the spirit of adoption, right? So you weren't given a nut. It says again, that spirit of bondage to fear you were born with has been replaced by the spirit of adoption of which we cry out, Abba, Father. You see, I've said that about myself. I just shared with you I'm Italian, right? I have Italian background. So one thing I used to say early in my Christian life was, oh, I'm not short with people. I'm short with things. That's the Italian in me, right? Just if that car wouldn't, I'm supposed to replace an alternator in 30 minutes, not 8 hours. Come on. I get frustrated, and it was the excuse for the gritting teeth and the curses that would come out of my mouth. My excuse was my Italian identity. I didn't realize in the moment that I lay all that down. You lay down your identity when you become this new seed. When you get refathered, you lay all of that down. Forget sexuality. Forget your Italianness. You lay it all down when you become his. Amen? And I just read it. There's no Jew nor Greek, nor slave nor free, nor male or female in Christ, because we're all one in him. Not sure I understand that completely, but what it does tell me is you lose that identity and you gain his. Amen? So I can't let that be my confession. I'm just admitting that to you today. I can't admit, oh, I'm just short with material things. You know, I might be patient with people. 7 kids will maybe do that to you. I thought I was patient that I had 7 kids, right? So I may say today that, oh, that's just the Italian in me. I don't have that excuse anymore, guys. I'm not understanding that I've been refathered, that the seed, that corruptible seed, has been removed and been replaced by an incorruptible seed. And we have that verse that says, your heart of stone has been replaced with a heart of flesh that is sincere, that is not prideful anymore and cares about others and actually cares about other people's burdens. That's what I need to identify with, not the Italian self. But nonetheless, the hands still move, and I still love spaghetti and meatballs. So we can keep a few good things. I just wrote here, you lose that identity when you become his, when you're born again. Whew. You see, this is... With people's sexuality... This is what it is. People are so offended by us Christians and the pointed hand of Christ that says homosexuality is wrong. They miss the hole in his hands that died for that very thing. And there's a debate, are you born with a gay gene? I'm like, that's not even the problem. That's not even the issue if you're born with it or not, if it's learned or if you're born with it. The point is, when you come to Christ, you deny yourself. I deny the picket fence and the good life I've wanted with Amber when I came to Christ. I lay my life down. In fact, some of his promises are, don't be confused when fiery trials come your way. If the world hated me, it'll hate you too. Rejoice in your suffering. Sometimes we miss those promises and we get confused as believers because we thought we signed up for better days. But he says, no, life might actually get worse when you lay your life down and become mine. I've come to bring not peace but a sword, where I may even get between sons and fathers, brothers and sisters, and even says mother-in-laws, right? Because we're going to choose to lay that life down and become his. And that's my heart for anyone who's confused about who they are sexuality-wise. I can't but say it's wrong, but regardless of that, I want you to know that Jesus is worth laying your life down for. It's the call of every believer in this room and every believer, no matter the sexuality. You don't come to Christ bringing what you want, bringing your desires in life. You lay it all down. How else can Jesus say, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light? It's burdensome to feed a family of 7 kids and a wife and all of that and have that in the front of my brain. You know what makes it easier? Even that I lay at Christ's feet. When COVID came, I thought our job, my business, the company I work for might fold. And at worst, the group that I was in would fold completely. There was a thought driving home one day where, okay, Lord, I got to do something new. Give Paul a call. Maybe I'll work with him for a little bit. Where there was an honest thought where, okay, Lord, we're going to have to shift gears. We're going to be, as Vaughn used to say, citizens of change. And I had to come to terms with nothing in life is guaranteed. So why? Why would I give up my life for him? Because there is no. When you care about your life so much, the sin of lust, we always think of sexual things, but lust is just a desire for things. When you give that up, life is so much easier. I don't get this all the time, but the times I do get it, it's great. You see, we have anxiety, we have jealousy, and sometimes depression. Why? Because we're so concerned about ourselves. All of those things, many of those things, hang upon the fact that you're so concerned about yourself. You cut that off where you're not concerned about yourself because you've denied yourself in coming to the Lord, and now your concern is for other men to get it. You've known this peace in spite of everything going on in the world. Now your concern is that other people get this peace. You're no longer concerned with yourself. I got it. I figured out what life is all about. Thank you, Lord. Don't need to, we put that to bed. Now I'm concerned. Romans 13:8. Oh, no man anything but to love one another. When your concern becomes others, that's where the yoke is easy and the burden is light. The yoke is heavy when you're concerned about yourself. When you're concerned about feeding seven kids, a wife and seven kids in New York State on a single income with a wife who teaches, you know, homeschools. That's a heavy burden. It's a lot easier when I just say, here it is, Lord. That's yours to be concerned with. What do you have for me? Share my peace with everyone. There are people worried about their kids going to school. There are people worried about traversing through the supermarket. There are people concerned with all sorts of things. Give them my peace. Tell everyone they need to be refathered. Remove, help me remove that spirit of fear and instead give them that spirit of adoption of which we cry out, Father. Amen? Whew. Love it. Yeah, amen. And I'll close with these scriptures. This is his most oft-repeated sermon. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat, we're talking about a seed, falls to the ground and it dies, it remains alone, sitting there on the dirt. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it. Uh-oh. He who hates his life in this world. That's a strong, I have to hate my life in this world. That does make it easier if I hate it. And it's, follow me here. This is Jesus' words. Love less that life in this world. If I love less my life in this world, those concerns, that's where his yoke is easy and his burden's light. He who hates his life in this world, oh, you'll keep it for eternal life. Because that's what it's been all about. 2 Peter 1:3-4. As his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which has been given to us great and precious promises. Look at all these great things. That through these you may be partakers, thank you, Lord, of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Again, don't just think sexual sin. All of those good things, you've escaped. Because if you've escaped selfish desiring. But also for this very reasons, give all, and now I'm reading 2 Peter 1:5-9. Oh, next one. But for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful, amen, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is what? Short-sighted, even to blindness, and you have forgotten the new seed you are, that you've been cleansed of all your sins. 2 Corinthians 6:11-12. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us. You are restricted by your own affections. You are restricted by your own affections. 2 Peter, what I read before, we've been given many promises, partakers of the divine nature, escaping corruption that is in the world because of selfish desire. Your call to the Lord is to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow him. Therefore, your yoke is easy. Therefore, his burden is light. There's the law of liberty. I think Josh pointed out how much of an ironic statement that is. A law of liberty? Aren't laws not too libertarian? Laws kind of stop me from going 85 on the throughway. They kind of keep me bound. But Jesus's is the perfect law of liberty. And that's the profound thing here in Romans, right? There's a war in my members, right? Paul explains that there was this law The law was just a revelation of our sin. As soon as they put that sign on the thruway saying, ah, stop at 65, now 75 becomes unlawful. Until they put that sign up, I'm okay. We follow? And he says in Romans 7, we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held, so we may serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. And here it is, Romans 8. For the law of the Spirit of life is in Christ Jesus, had made me free from the law of sin and death. Saints, if you're fearing now in this troubling time, I'm not sure any legislation or any stat is going to restore that for you as best as it can. It may be temporary. It may be like a back massage on a muscle that aches. But it's not going to be the root thing that solves it. It's going to be his peace in spite of everything being what it is. And you are not going to have that peace till you have Christ, who's going to refather you to the Father. Amen. Let's stand and close in prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So, Lord, our prayer this morning is for those of us in this room and those of us maybe watching at home, if they have not been refathered, that they would come to you right now. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to bring many sons to glory. If you're here this morning, if you're listening this morning, and you have not been refathered, the Lord is calling you to his table. The Lord is bidding you come. Holy Spirit's bidding you come. I remember my first day in a church like this, and I was just numb from head to toe, crying incessantly. And I tugged my mother and I said, what is going on? And she said, the Holy Spirit is alive and well in this place. That is whom you're experiencing right now. You see, I knew the story of Jesus as a young Catholic boy. It is what it is. I knew the story of Christ. But there's a Romans verse that says, you believe there's a God? Great. Even the demons do and shudder. It's not enough to just believe that this story is true, that I believe some Jewish carpenter some odd thousands of years ago died and he rose again. It's not enough to believe that story. You have to receive it and be refathered because you were born of a corruptible seed. And it's no amaze to me, I read a statistic about a few weeks ago that the average lifespan of a male in New York went from like lower 80s to 76. Why? Because of suicide. People have no clue who they are. You even interview some people that are rioting and they don't even know what they're rioting because of. Like the whole election thing when they would interview people, name three policies that you like about Obama and they catch people. Name three things you hate about the other person. I'm not getting political here. Just people sometimes aren't thinking through what they're standing up for or against. And in likewise manner, I was walking through life believing a few things but not really thinking it through. And I love Ravi Zacharias, the late Ravi Zacharias, had two programs, Just Thinking and Let My People Think. People think this morning. The gospel is all about what does it mean to be human? What does it mean to bleed as a human being? What does it mean when you get upset when you see such things happening to people of color on this earth? What does it mean about that indignation, that fire that burns in your belly? Why does it matter to you that babies, unborn babies are being killed? Why does that even matter if life has no purpose? And know that that seed was planted in there. As God said, I put the stars into place so that you would remember my name, so that you would look on this earth and know there has to be a purpose to this life. There has to be a God overseeing. There has to be intelligence that designed all this. That's in your heart, and that's stirring right now because the Father is calling you home. For you who have no purpose, the Father is calling you to purpose so that you can get on a plane and say, this thing ain't going down because the Father has a purpose for me, amen? So Lord, would you speak to your saints this morning and specifically to those that don't know you for the purpose of being refathered? Lord, I thank you for the precious blood of Christ, which binds us all and unites us all. One church, one body, one baptism, one faith. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you this morning. Enjoy Jolly Cow. We'll see you at 7 o'clock if you want to join us for prayer. And we do communion, my wife and I, on Facebook Live, Wednesday nights at 9. God bless you guys.